The Stars, My Brothers by Edmond Hamilton. He was afraid, not of the present or the future, but of the past. He was afraid of the thing tagged Reed Kiernan, that stiff, blind, voiceless thing wheeling its slow orbit around the moon, companion to dead worlds and silent space. Section 1. Something tiny went wrong, but no one ever knew whether it was in an electric relay or in the brain of the pilot. The pilot was Lieutenant Charles Wandeck, UNRC, home address 1677 Anstey Avenue, Detroit. He did not survive the crash of his ferry into Wheel 5. Neither did his three passengers, a young French astrophysicist, an East Indian expert on magnetic fields, and a 40-year-old man from Philadelphia who was coming out to replace a pump technician. Someone else who did not survive was Reed Kiernan, the only man in Wheel 5 itself to lose his life. Kiernan, who was 36 years old, was an accredited scientist employee of UNRC, home address 815 Elm Street, Midland Springs, Ohio. Kiernan, despite the fact that he was a confirmed bachelor, was in Wheel 5 because of a woman. But the woman who had sent him there was no beautiful love lost. Her name was Gertrude Lemekin. She was 19 years old and overweight with a fat, stupid face. She suffered from head colds and sniffed constantly in the Ohio College classroom where Kiernan taught physics too. One March morning, Kiernan could bear it no longer. He told himself, if she sniffs this morning, I'm through. I'll resign and join the UNRC. Gertrude sniffed. 6 months later, having finished his training for the United Nations Reconnaissance Corps, Kieran shipped out for a term of duty in the UNRC Space Laboratory No. 5, known more familiarly as Wheel 5. Wheel 5 circled the moon. There was an elaborate base on the surface of the moon in this year 1981. There were laboratories and observatories there too, but it had been found that the alternating fortnights of boiling heat and near absolute zero cold on the lunar surface could play havoc with the delicate instruments used in certain researches. Hence Wheel 5 had been built and was staffed by research men who were rotated at regular 8-month intervals. Kieran loved it from the first. He thought that that was because of the sheer beauty of it, the gaunt silver death's head of the moon forever turning beneath, the still and solemn glory of the undimmed stars, the filamentaries stretched across the distant star clusters like shining veils, the quietness, the peace. But Kieran had a certain intellectual honesty, and after a while he admitted to himself that neither the beauty nor the romance of it was what made this life so attractive to him. It was the fact that he was far away from Earth. He did not even have to look at Earth, for nearly all geophysical research was taken care of by Wheels 2 and 3 that circled the mother planet. He was almost completely divorced from all Earth's problems and people. Kieran liked people, but had never felt that he understood them. What seemed important to them, all the drives of ordinary day-to-day existence, had never seemed very important to him. He had felt that there must be something wrong with him, something lacking, for it seemed to him that people everywhere committed the most outlandish follies, believed in the most incredible things, were swayed by pure herd instinct into the most harmful courses of behavior. They could not all be wrong, he thought, so he must be wrong. And it had worried him. He had taken partial refuge in pure science, but the study and then the teaching of astrophysics had not been the refuge that Wheel 5 was. He would be sorry to leave the wheel when his time was up. And he was sorry when the day came. The others of the staff were already out in the docking lock in the rim, waiting to greet the replacements from the ferry. Kieran hated to leave, lagged behind, then, realizing it would be churlish not to meet this young Frenchman who was replacing him, he hurried along the corridor in the big spoke when he saw the ferry coming in. He was 2/3 of the way along the spoke to the rim when it happened. There was a tremendous crash that flung him violently from his feet. He felt a coldness, instant and terrible. He was dying. He was dead. The ferry had been coming in on a perfectly normal approach when the tiny something went wrong, in the ship or in the judgment of the pilot. Its drive rockets suddenly blasted on full, it heeled over sharply, it smashed through the big starboard spoke like a knife through butter. Wheel 5 staggered, rocked, and floundered. The automatic safety bulkheads had all closed, and the big spoke section...